you once said, Lord. We believe, Father, in what we ask. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bible to John, the 13th chapter. John 13. I'm going to start at verse 34. Jesus is speaking. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you." Now the Jews had had all these commandments. Moses gave them all the law. They were following the law. But he said, "Now I'm going to give you a new commandment." This is what he said, "That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." My. You may be seated. Have a seat. Folks, I think I had one more service on discerning the Lord's body, and I think tonight actually is it. All right? I don't know for sure, of course. But this should be the last time I preach for a couple weeks, because I'm going on vacation. We're having a couple of visiting ministers come in. Which I'm really looking forward to. Of course, I won't be here for Brother Bo, but I'll be here for Brother Jewel. And so excited about that. So I think this is kind of where he's ending up on this series. I don't know. He does things the way he wants to, and I just want to be led by him. So if I come back and preach 10 more services on discerning the Lord's body, praise the Lord. But let's look at tonight, this discerning the Lord's body. I want to read a quote. He said, Brother Branham says this in Influence. He said, "This is a uniting time. There's a united nation, a united church, united effort. What is it a sign of? We look around the world, we see everything being united together. It's a sign," he said, "that Christ and his bride uniting." Remember, look in the natural to see the spiritual. And when you see everything uniting, you know that Christ and his bride are uniting. You also know Satan and his bride are uniting. All right? He said, "That's what it is. It's all shadows and types. Everything wants to be unionized, so it's a sign. Christ is fixing to unite with his bride. A wedding supper taking place in the sky. So it ought to throw the church into action when we see the signs of his here at hand. Oh my, all these things are signs to us everywhere. Oh, we should be in action." The body of Christ, discerning what God is doing, discerning his work in our midst, discerning as he's uniting us together. This is what we should be seeing. This is what should be happening. He said it should put us in action. Now, what he means by put us in action is not that we go out and try to unite ourselves together. All right? That is what the world is doing. They are putting an effort to unite themselves together. They are calling, it's got a spirit. It's an antichrist spirit, and the name of it is political correctness. That is the spirit that is trying to unite the world together against Christ. It is a religious spirit. They might not pray to believe in God, whatever, but it is a religion. And this is what the world is doing to try to unite everybody together under political correctness. And you have to do that by stop offending everybody. Once we stop offending each other, can't we just get along? Well, we sure can. That's what it's all about. That's why you see the things happening in Washington, D.C., the president we have, the one we're going to have, all around the world, all these things going on. It's getting us all together, the whole world together, as one united world government under one head, right. The Antichrist. Mm-hmm. I think it's amazing. You talk to these people who call themselves progressive, liberal, and they say, "We are open-minded, and if you don't agree with us, you're closed-minded." They have lost the meaning of the what open-minded means. See, if you go along with their ideas about homosexuality and transgender and combining all the churches and all the religions, and you can get to God through any religion you want, and all these things that is their agenda, they say, "See, we're open-minded. We accept everybody." Stand up against them once and see how open-minded they are. They will kill you one day. They're so open-minded. Open-minded means I accept you even if I don't agree with you. It's not I accept you because you agree with me. They had totally twisted the meaning of it. But you talk to them, you ask them, yeah, I'm open-minded. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, you're not open-minded. You think you had to go through Christ to get to God? How closed-minded are you? You're just a bigot. You're just a racist. You're just whatever. They call you anything they want because they're so open-minded. See how that deceptive spirit, and yet you think, you talk to them and they think, oh, we accept everybody. Let me tell you what, they'll accept a radical Muslim terrorist before they accept you. They'll find a reason for him to be that. Will they find a reason for you to be a Christian? I don't think so. We are in a great time, brother and sister. This world is literally insane. They have gone off the deep end and there ain't no getting back. You can talk about, well, America's going down. She's hit. She is down. She ain't coming back. It tears me up to say it, but our country is gone, folks. This is not the United States of America. George Washington would look around and say, oh, my God, what I said would happen has happened. He predicted it would come here. We're here, folks. We're here, and it's all coming together, all being united. Oh, we're all going to get together. Oh, by the way, except for the Jews. There's more anti-Semitism in the world now than there has ever been in history. Europe is more anti-Semitic than before the Holocaust. Didn't take long to get back there, did it? How did that happen? Because there's something called an Antichrist spirit driving them. You can see it all over. It's Antichrist spirit driving it. And when we get our next president in the White House, she hates him worse than anybody else.
Right.
Amen. Boy, we're in for some good times around here. What's this? We are. I would hate not to be within the body of Christ right now, wouldn't you? Terrifying. Earthquakes in diverse places. Who ever heard of earthquakes, major earthquakes in Italy before? Doesn't happen very often. All over the world, folks. Wonderful time, a fulfillment of scripture happening. Uniting together. He said, we need to be in action. Well, what does that mean for us to be in action? Because you and I both know that it's not mean that we're going to go out and work our tail off to try and get an action to cause us all to unite together. But here's the action, brother and sister, is we are united by a spirit also. Even as the Antichrist spirit is uniting the world, another spirit is uniting us.
Amen.
Let's read what that spirit is. If you turn to 1 John. 1 John, we're going to read out of the 4th chapter, I think. Yeah. 1 John 4. Let's start at verse 9. No, we're going to keep going up. It's just too good. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, see, you can take that and say, well, I love, then I'm born of God, I know God. I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my friends, I love my neighbors, I love my brothers and sisters. I'm not even a Christian, but I'm born of God, I know God because I love. That's not what he's talking about. This is who has God's love, not filial love, agape love. All right? Because everybody loves something. Verse 8, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. My, I'm glad that said that. God is love. You want to find God? Look for love. Not man's thinking of it. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's how much he loves us. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God loves us so much, we ought to love one another. And if we have a problem loving one another, we are short of the grace and mercy of God. We need a good new revelation exactly what God has done for us. Because if we can look down on somebody for whatever reason, we are not recognizing the grace that God has towards us. We still are putting something of our own strength into it. You know what? I have a lot of problems, but at least I don't have some of the problems Brother Todd has. My goodness, would you look at his life? Whew. I'm just playing. Not playing, make an example. Okay, what's the problem with that? I still put some of my holiness in there. Well, I have a lot of problems, but at least I'm not gay. I'm sorry. Does that make me holier than that person? No, it makes me a Pharisee. What do you mean, at least you're not? Did you have something to do with that? Think about it. Well, I have some issues, but at least I feed my kids, take care of my family. So you're saying it's okay? No, it's not okay for them to do that. It's not okay to be gay. It's not okay not to take care of the family. But it's not okay for me to look down on that person as if somehow I'm holier than they are. Because if I looked at it realistically, I would say, except for the grace of God, that's me. Except for what God done, that's me. I am every pervert, I'm every creeper, I'm every gay person, I'm every thief, I'm every murderer, I'm every whoever it is, that's me. I have the ability to do every one of those things within my own flesh. And so do you. We are all capable of it. It takes me back, it bears repeating. When our soldiers in World War II, they went overseas, they went to a lot of different countries throughout Europe and Africa and everywhere, and they were fighting, and they saw the civilians in these countries, and you know who they said were most like Americans? Those nasty old Germans. They were the most like us, and they gave us the Holocaust. Don't sit there and think we can't do something like that. Just stick around for the tribulation period if you want to find out. We're all fallen creatures except for the grace of God. And what political correctness tries to do is say, you know what? You're a good person at heart. We're all good people at heart, just doing bad things. I'm sorry. We're bad people at heart. Until you're born again, your heart is fallen. You have an old nature, and you are capable of doing wonderful things, and you're capable of doing horrible things out of the same body, because it's the tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're all capable of it. Those Germans who were the Nazis, they did those camps where they killed those people. They were normal people like you and me. They went about it like a job because they've been taught they are subhuman. It's like running a slaughterhouse. You know, we might work in a slaughterhouse and kill cows, right? For butchering. And some people look at you and say, that's murder. They are much a right to life as you do. You have no right to kill an animal to eat it. Well, I think they're whacked. But that's how they look at it. You say, well, I don't know if we could actually get as bad as the Holocaust. Let me tell you what, there's something going on right now that is just as bad in this country and around the world. That's called sex trafficking. I heard not long ago they're taking people, about 19 people a month are being snatched out of Nashville. That's ridiculous. How would you deal with that? If one day your kid just didn't show up from school, and 20 years later you're still looking for him. I can't imagine. And here's why I say this. You say, well, that's a bunch of creepers and that's a bunch of nasty people. Let me tell you what, it's the second fastest growing felony in the United States. You know why? Because there's a market for it. And you know who the market is? The average person on the street. It's not some old creeper in an alley. It's not someone sitting there in their basement, nasty old person. It's the people you go to work with. It's the people you go to church with. It's the people you go to Little League with. It's the people you shop with. It's the average person on the street drives this slavery. That disturbs me most. Don't talk to me about how we couldn't do a Holocaust. We're doing the worst. We're doing the same thing right now, destroying these kids' lives. And you know what? The younger, the better, including infants. That's where America has gone to. A lot of drug cartels aren't selling drugs as much. They can get more money by selling kids. That's the United States of America that this political correctness has brought us to. Because we accept everything. You know what the leftist agenda is pushing now? They got the transgenders. They got everyone in the bathroom. They got the married same-sex marriages. Now they're pushing incest. Who are you to tell a son that he can't marry his mother? And right after that will be bestiality. Guarantee it. This is where we're at, folks. This is where we're at. Say something against it. You'll lose your job. According to what job you have. Let me get back to reading here. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. You want to know if God dwells in you? You want to know if you're born again? Do you love one another? I'm not talking because you feel nice towards a person, because you have a filial love, because a brother Paul and I, we're best friends. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the love of God that comes in you, and you love that person even though you bitterly disagree with them. Because that's what political correctness cannot do. Because when you disagree with them, they feel justified in killing you. Do black lives matter? They feel justified in rejecting you, in humiliating you, in saying all manner of evil against you, in boycotting you, and doing all they can to destroy you. Because you disagree with them. But brother and sister, Brother Branham said this. He said, even though you bitterly disagree with them, if you cannot put your arm around them and love them, you need to get to the altar. You got a problem. You say, well, I just don't like the homosexual spirit. I don't either. But that has nothing to do with whether I love the person. Or do you look down on them? Look at those people. Oh my goodness. Look what they're doing to themselves. Look at those body piercings. Look at those tattoos. Look what they're wearing. Look how crazy. They're just destroying themselves. Do you love them? Who is your brother? Didn't they ask Jesus? He told them about the Good Samaritan, right? The parable? Racist. The Samaritans and the Jews were racist towards each other. And the Samaritan took that and gave him everything he needed and said, hey, whatever he needs, put the bill on me. I'll pay for it. Could you be guilty of being a good Samaritan to someone who hated you? Don't get all sober, because the love of God in you would say, well, of course I would. Your mind might say, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm doing this. But the love of God would constrain you and say, I'm doing it anyways. Because that's what the love of God does. See, I just don't know, Brother Phil. I don't know if I could do something. Yes, you can. And here's the problem. If you can't now, you will. You will. He said, I there's some people I just hate. I just hate them. I can't help it. I hate them. You'll change. One day you'll be in a situation you realize I'm just like that person I hate. And you realize I don't hate them anymore. Now, I'm not saying you're going to like the person. I'm not saying you want to go out to dinner with them. I'm not saying anything like that. You don't want to hang around with them. That's perfectly fine. But as a human being, you respect them as a human being. You respect their rights to be what they want to be, and you respect them, and you will love them. Because that's the only way that they have a chance to come to Christ. Because you preaching them, telling them what they're doing wrong is not going to get them to Christ. Not today. They're either going to see Christ in you, the love of God through you, or they're going to be lost. You're their chance. You're their shot at redemption. Mercy is in the bride. My. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. You will have perfect love. If you do not have perfect love now, you will have perfect love. That is part of the bride's inheritance for this day. It's going to take perfect love. It's going to take perfect faith. And it's going to take us in a perfect rapture to a perfect body. Yes, sir. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And all you have to do is recognize the love of God in you. You know that's God in you. And if God is in you now, he's not going to take a rapture and leave you sitting here. You've sealed away. It's too late. You're gone. Oh, one day that's really going to sink in. One day that's going to sink in, and Satan's going to come to you. I don't know about you. Oh, just quit, please. Have you seen what's going on around here? And he'll come with something else, harder, and knock you on your seat. Then you get back up. We're going to take a rapture, folks. You might as well just get ready for it. It says, we ought to be in action. Let me finish that thought here in a little bit. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He hath given us of his Spirit. Now he's talking about God and you. Let's just go back and read it. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and has sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sin. Beloved, as God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, that he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. That Spirit, brother and sister, is love. God is love. That Spirit is love. That's how you know. That is the Spirit that is uniting the bride. It's not a fake love called we're all going to get along, quit offending each other so we can love each other. This is the real love. That political correctness love is the best humanity can do. It's the best they can do, but we're not sitting here worried about offending each other. We're sitting here loving each other. And sometimes love hurts, and love offends, and love makes you angry. And love makes you buck up against it. And love makes you pout. And love makes you, why? Because the love of God tells the truth. It tells the truth. Our president will not tell us the truth because it might offend somebody. He will not utter the words, radical Islam. Find the last time he said that. Because he doesn't want to offend anybody. But the Holy Spirit comes and said, I love you enough, I'm going to offend you, I'm going to tell you, you have a bad attitude. You need to change your attitude. You need to love your brother, you need to love your sister. This attitude you have, or this idol you have, you got to get rid of it. See, that's what love does. It's corrective. It chastens. And born-again children of God say, yes, Papa, you made me mad. I had a bad attitude, but now I'm back. I'm repenting. I'm back at Calvary. And it's uniting us together. How? Because we're all recognizing we're a part of the body of Christ and we're getting rid of all the division. How do you get rid of the division in the body of Christ? Love. You get rid of this idol. You get rid of that idol. You get rid of my family is more important. My money is more important. My reputation is more important. My idea of how to run the church is more important. And it strips all that down and love just brings it all together. My old feelings get in the way and it strips them down. So your feeling has nothing to do with this. Your feeling still getting hurt? You got too many feelings. You got too much pride. And he strips it down. We're being united by that spirit of love. And it's not the way the world looks at it. The world does not see it as love. The world does not look at that as love. They say, well, you don't have to preach like that. We're all mature. You don't have to yell at us. You don't have to scream. We just need to be educated. And that's what they're doing. They're educating the world to get along with each other. The problem with that is if you don't get along, you have to be destroyed. If you don't get along with Christ, he loves you anyways. He blesses you. You want to see the love of God? The children of Israel, they refused to take the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. They said, we can't do it. And they turned away. You know what God did? He continued to bless them until they died. They were already dead. They were already headed for hell. And God continued to bless them because he loved them that much. That's the love of God. Brother Branham was talking about how all the stars and the planets and the moon and the sun, everything works together in perfect harmony. He said, oh, if we in the church as members of the body of Christ could only work in harmony like that. You see a great and mighty church of the living God, all in one array, filled with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Every member of the body functioning just exactly to its place. Every gift to its place. Every gift helping the other. Every member helping the other. That would be wonderful. That's what we want to see. But we'll see it someday. And if that be right. Every gift helping each other. Everyone working together. Everyone in one array, in one accord. That's what the inheritance for the bride of Christ. Can you discern the Lord's body? Can you see the problem? Can you see when there's a division, how it's time to step through that and say, we will not be divided. My love will overcome that. Love conquers so many sins. Love gets over it. Love takes care of these things. You know what the best way to knock down division in the church is? You go ahead and love that person anyways instead of protecting yourself. That's how it works. That's how we get united, because we do not allow these things to come up amongst us and let it divide us anymore. He said, I don't care if it hurts my feelings. I'm going to love you anyways. That hurts my pride. That's okay. You're going to protect your pride until the rapture? I don't think so. If God designed man's body, he certainly designed the body of his son. Did God design your body? Look at your body. Look how it's made. Who could have come up with that? Who could have done that? God designed your body perfectly. He said, if he did that, he certainly designed the body of his son, the church. Talking about us. Did he design this body? He said, there's 12 people here tonight, 13 or whatever. And he designed this. This is the body he designed to be here tonight. He designed us to come together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're fulfilling the word tonight. That's enough to be happy about, isn't it? You are in God's perfect will tonight. Where else would you like to be? It just is too simple. Our old pea brains try to make it so hard, so complicated, so difficult. It's really that simple. He designed us to come together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and have these supernatural workings of God, outlets, through gifts of the Spirit, such as prophecy and wisdom and knowledge and gifts of healing, all these other different gifts and outlets that God lets out his power, lets out his revelation to the people. And not as an individual so much, but as a unit, we're all together one great body of believers. That's what we are supposed to do. That's what his purpose is, to get us to be one body of believers, all in unity. We don't get in unity by being politically correct like it's, okay, we talk about the political correctness out in the world. Let's go ahead and bring it down home, okay, in the message. Because this is how it's having the message. Well, I disagree with you, brother, but I'm going to be nice to you because I love you. And allow the division to stand there, not loving through it, not real love. It's just their attempt. I'm not going to say anything because we don't argue anymore. You're just being politically correct. Do you have enough love to tell them the truth and do it in love instead of arguing, instead of with a bitter spirit, instead of I told you I'm going to prove you I'm right, that I'm right and you're wrong? What spirit are you saying it in? One unit, we're all together, one great body of believers. That's what the bride is. We don't have to be in one place, but we're going to be all one great body of believers around the world. No division. All seeing eye to eye. He said, how is that going to happen? The same way we are here tonight, God's doing the work. God's doing the work. He said, how do you get into this body? By one spirit, we're all baptized into it. You got to be baptized into it, folks. Let me read another quote here. We mustn't try to impersonate anyone. Just be what you are. That's the way God made you. You never fashioned yourself. People come to serve God and they want to say, I want to be this, I want to do this, I want to worship this way, I want this kind of church. Just be what you are. He said, remember, as much as we ministers would like to take Billy Graham's place, we cannot do it. Neither can Billy Graham take your place. Each one of us has something to do. A common little fellow here may be a janitor. The little woman may be a housewife. The greatest minister on the face of the earth could not take your place. God had a purpose in making you what you are, and you just serve God in the way that he made you. I think if we just do that, the wheels would roll a lot easier. Yes, it would if we would do that, not get lifted up. If we would just find what God has us to do in the body of Christ, the wheels would roll easier. Everyone would come to their own place. The gifts would work. The anointings would be here. The healings, the miracles, everything would be in place as we come together. And the thing that would bind us all together is love. Love, uniting us, uniting with us with each other, and in that we're being united with Christ. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. God just coming tonight and say, hey, you're the body of Christ. Discern who you are. Discern what's going on. Discern how Satan's trying to keep you spread apart, trying to keep divisions and trying to keep schisms. And, well, this person don't get along with that person, and this family don't get along with that family. And Sister Susie said something that hurt my feelings, so I'm just going to ignore her for a few weeks because I want her to know that she hurt my feelings, and I'm not going to be hurt by her anymore. You know Sister Susie didn't hurt my feelings. How do you know she didn't? Because you know Sister Susie. She wouldn't hurt someone's feelings. She might tell you the truth that might hurt your feelings. It's not what I'm talking about. But she's not running her mouth over there or being contentious or something. Why? Because she don't have that spirit. She hurt Brother Paul's feelings, but that's what a husband's for. Amen. New commandment I give you, that you love one another. We ought to be in action, he said. We ought to be in action. How are we in action? Loving. We are going to get to the point, brother and sister, where our actions are driven by love. Love brings faith to the battlefield. You want to pray for someone? Make sure you love them. It'll bring the faith there. You say, I don't even like that person. They are a sinner. They're a drug addict. They are, oh really? Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Pharisee. Stand up and justify your own self. Well, I never did those things. Right now, you're worse because you are being influenced by a religious devil who is worse than that devil that is keeping that person addicted to those drugs because you think you're good. See how nasty that is? How deceptive? That's why it's so, this age, brother and sister, you can live such a good life and you can see, and you can look at all the people living so horrible and your spirit is worse than theirs. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people who have that spirit. It's a religious devil. And Brother Branham said, those religious demons are the worst kind. They're the most deceptive. And I'm going to stand up and say, well, I'm a message believer. I've been a message believer for 30 years. And Brother Paul, he's only been a message believer for 25 years. So I have seniority, so I need to tell him how to live. I got my act together better than he does. It's just Phariseeism. It's just legalism. I can look down my nose at that person walking down the street because they're homeless. I can look down my nose at that person who's out there doing drugs, or he's got himself so tattooed up he doesn't even look human anymore. But I can look down at him. The love of God doesn't. And see, what happens, brother and sister, is if we can look down our nose at someone who's out on the street, we'll bring that same spirit right into the church. And we'll look down at our brothers and sisters in the church because of some weakness or something that we perceive in them. Not realizing that Jesus said, before you take that speck out of their eye, take that big old beam of legalism out of your own. I'm guilty. I'm the worst one. I raised in a critical family. I had a critical spirit all my life, most of my life, and I still have tendencies to get critical. It's a horrible place to be. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Look at him through the eyes of God. And see a lost soul. And then try to hate him. Then try to look down on him. You can't do it. And if you're still struggling, pray for him. And then see if you can look down on him. And if you're still struggling, get in the spirit while you're praying. And then see if you can look down on them. You're going to find out that you love them. Your bitterest enemy. From the cross. Suffocating. Have you ever not been able to breathe? It's one of the worst feelings in the world. Suffocating on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. That's who we are. Isn't that amazing? Let me finish this up. I'm going to read this quote that you've heard 1,000 times, and it's just on my heart to read it. Now your old book is gone with your old union. Your name in your old has been transferred. Now you say, do you mean to tell me that my old book, God put it in the sea of his forgetfulness. You stand perfectly before God. Your name is now in the new book, not in the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed, not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life, your marriage certificate, where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. He's saying you were born into your old relationship, your old marriage to your old nature has been destroyed. That's been thrown away. And you stand with your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, now you're not only forgiven, but you're justified. Justified, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Look up the word. The word doesn't mean forgiven. The word means justified. It doesn't mean you're forgiven. For instance, you heard that I got drunk and done some evil thing and everything. You come around saying to me, you found out I didn't do them. Then you come around and say, Brother Branham, I forgive you. Forgive me. I didn't do it in the first place. Now, if I did it, I'm guilty. But you can forgive me, I wouldn't be guilty, but yet I'm not justified because I actually did it. But the word justified as though you never done it. Amen. It's not even regarded at all. How's it done? In God's book of the sea of forgetfulness, your old book in marriage is divorced and dead. It's not even in the memories of God. You are justified. Therefore, being justified, it was accused. You are accused. You never done it in the first place. Brother and sister, if that becomes a revelation to us, what is Satan going to do to you? What condemnation will he bring against you? How is he going to get you depressed and dejected and beat down and just like so discouraged because of the mistakes you make? If you believe that, if you believe who you are, if you can discern the Lord's body, if you can discern who you are, if you can recognize who you are and what you're supposed to do, what you are called for, you recognize that all the things you've done in the past and all the nasty things you might do in the future are forgiven, and not forgiven, are justified. You never did it. And God says, I cannot see anything that you did, Brother Paul, but you're going to hold a grudge against him. How are you going to do that? If this becomes a revelation that you're justified, how are you going to look at someone else and say, well, look at that, what they're doing? Because God ain't looking at you that way. But if you don't forgive them, he ain't going to forgive you. If you're going to hold a bitterness against her, he's not going to forgive you. He's going to remember it until you forgive it, and then it's stricken away. Think about it. God looks at you and says, I see a perfect, sinless individual, and I don't even know what you're going to do tomorrow. I know you're going to make a mistake tomorrow. I know where you're going to fall tomorrow. I know what's going on, and yet I look at you right now, and I see a sinless individual who never did anything. Who would like to stand up and tell us all the bad things you've done in your life? Boy, I wouldn't. I'd be totally humiliated. And God said, don't worry about it. You never did it. You didn't do it. You can stand up on Judgment Day and say, play their life. Was blank. The first 20 years of his life was just almost blank. Why? It's been erased. Amen. That blood dripping off the cross, hitting that ground, erased it. Amen. Think about it. He looks at you and he knows what you're gonna do next week. He knows what you do next month, and he says, you are sinless. Because as soon as you make that mistake, you repent and that blood, poof, it's gone. What is that thing they have? Snapchat or Instagram or something on the phone where you take a picture and 10 seconds later it disappears after you send it? There's something like that. I don't know how it works. That's the way it is. You do something and as soon as you repent, it's just gone. Unless you're not forgiving people. If your attitude is still, well, at least I'm not that way. Well, you shouldn't have done that to me. Well, I'm going to hold that grudge. I'm going to protect myself against you, brother, sister. You're not there yet. You've got things hanging on. He said, if you don't forgive your brother, how am I going to forgive you? Your father's not going to forgive you. But don't worry. You will forgive. You're a child of God. You were born for that purpose. You were born for that purpose. He said, yeah, but they've done something so horrible to me. All right. What have you done? Nothing that bad. He was guilty of one part of the law, is guilty of the whole thing. Sin is sin. Sin is so horrible that God condemned his own kids to die. God cannot, he cannot endure, he cannot bear to be in the presence of sin. He can't stand it. He's too holy. And yet he comes down here among us, doesn't he? Because you're sinless. He has to make us sinless in order to marry us. You are married to the Son of God. You're a virgin, sinless bride of Christ. Sinless. Never did it. God, remember last week when I had... No, I don't remember. Why are you trying to remind me? But God, keep doing this over and over and over. I think this is the first time you've done it. No, God, I do this every week. I do this twice a day. No, you don't. What are you confessing that for? Put it in my hand and just let me take care of it. I will set you free. Any good to us? Oh my goodness. Who could have come up with a story like that? You know, Cinderella, right? This ain't Cinderella's story. But you know, we all know the story. And she got to a point where, you know, everything was just perfect. That's what God has done for us. He has taken and made everything perfect. He took us out of our old nasty backwards habits and everything and all that life we came from. He put us here. He said, now you're perfect. Now get in action and start loving and unite this bride. Unite this little group in Dixon. Unite with each other. How? By loving them. This should put us in action. When we see the whole world out there uniting against us, you know what's going to happen? They're coming against us and say, well, I'm going to destroy you. I tell you what, if that comes against us, however it's going to be, you better believe you'll unite with each other then. All these things that come up among us sometime, we have this grudge, we have that feeling or whatever, those things will go away. Let's get them go away now. Let's not have to take that to drive it away. Let's let love drive these things away. Let's let love get rid of all the schisms. Let's let love get all the doubts and fears and everything. Just let love take care of it. Let love do it. Get into action. We are a place of desperation. Amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we're thankful you would come and speak tonight, Lord, and encourage us, Lord. Show us who we are. Show us how you love us, and show us how we love you, Father. And recognizing it's not us doing it. It's not our efforts. It's not our love, but it's you. And we see that if we love with your love, that means you are in us. You are in us, and your spirit is in us, and you're uniting us to your spirit, which is love. Father, you're being united to your bride. Lord, the time is so short. Help each one of us, Father, to lay aside all the sins and the cares of the world and all the worries and doubts and fears and all the things that so easily beset us, Lord. And let us run with patience. Yes, Lord. We ask this that you would bless all the people who aren't here tonight, Lord. Watch over them. Strengthen. We ask this in your name, and Lord, I pray we all come back Sunday morning in your own spirit, Lord, and it just in faith and in love, ready to hear from you again. We ask this in your name. Amen. You know that scripture says, run with patience, the race that is set before us. And so many people, they get out there and they start running, they think it's a sprint. And they're running hard and fast, but you run out of energy. You run down and you get to a point where you can't keep going. You're sitting on the sideline. But when you run a long distance race, you get into the race, you get into the rhythm of it, and you just keep going. Mile after mile, day after day, year after year, you just keep going that steady pace. You see this person run by real fast and you catch up and they're sitting on the sideline. You just keep going. But as you near the end, my, as you near the end of the race, you get a new energy and a surge because you say, there it is. There's the finish. Come on now. Let's go. Let's finish this. And all your brothers and sisters who have made it are standing there cheering you. Come on. Keep coming. My mom and dad, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your kids, whoever has gone ahead, they're standing there. They're saying, come on. You're so close. Just another mile. Just a little further. Don't let anything slow you down or stop you now, brother and sister. Let's keep going. Amen. I love you, my Lord, with all my heart.